Well, I've been for a long time. We got started early today. You would open your Bibles up to 1 Peter 2:2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. We're going to talk about the growth of a child today. That would be the growth of a child of God would be a more apt statement. But the title I have is The Growth of a Child. Boy, wasn't it a good revival we had this past week. Just a heroic and old-time revival. I didn't sleep through a bit of it, and I didn't sleep good at home when I got home. Got my toes stomped a couple times. 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And that's what we're going to start with today. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll dive in. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here today. Thank you for those who are able to attend. I ask, Father, that you've used me to do a good work by these people, to help them in some way, Father, to lift them up, to edify them, to comfort them, Father. Father, we pray for all those that are on our prayer list, that you attend to each and every need that you see as you see fit, Father. And Father, you're aware of the one that I have on my mind at the moment. I ask that you be with them, Father. Watch over them and care for them, Father. Father, we just ask that you go with us now through this service, that you be with us in a special way, that you'd give me the very words that you'd have me to say. Keep me focused for the time allotted, Father. We ask, Father, that you forgive our sins, that you grow us and prosper us as you see fit, Father. We ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. And amen. Like I said, today we're going to look at the growth of a child of God. And it parallels many ways physical growth. Many ways. The difference is, obviously a child is, they start out little. Whereas a child of God, you may be saved, well, literally at the last instant, and never know anything but the good news of the gospel. And then the ones that should be ashamed are the ones that are saved for a long time and never learn anything. Not because they can't, but because they won't. But we're going to look at the growth of a child today. You know, many things in life involve studying and learning. And Christianity is no different. But to be a Christian is different than, say, to be a tradesman or to get a college degree. You know, to be a tradesman, let's say to be a plumber, you have to go and study to be a plumber. To be an electrician, you have to go and study, and then you get your license to be an electrician. Well, a Christian is the exact opposite. A Christian doesn't know anything. A Christian is converted, born again. They don't know anything. The study comes afterwards. You're made a Christian, then you learn how to be a Christian and what's involved. Now, like I said, the greatest shame, I've talked to people before that should know a lot about the Bible, and they're clueless. They don't know anything. Now, whenever I say that, I'm not the world's greatest biblical scholar. And I had trouble with Brother Ross this week whenever he was tying all those scriptures together about the end times. I was just sitting there going, huh? I mean, he was going through them so fast I couldn't keep up. And I can't tie, I have trouble tying things together like that, like he did so well. But you still have an obligation to learn. To start, a Christian doesn't know much, if any, or doctrine when they're saved. They only know that they're under conviction and they must respond. You know, I can remember, and I've said this before, I don't remember the date I was saved. I've lost a lot of my childhood. Don't get hit upside the head some more with that story. But I can remember the weight that was on my shoulders. And I can remember when Preacher Martin looked at me and said, "Do you want to be saved?" And yes, he said that. And I said, "Yes, I do." And I can remember the weight that came off of my shoulders. It was like you lifted the world off of me. And I was a little fella, 10, 12 years old whenever I was saved. But I remember that I was going to go to hell. I remember being scared to go to sleep at night because if I closed my eyes and I died, I was going to go to hell. You don't have to be 20, 30, 40, 50 years old to grasp the gospel. Little children can grasp it as well. But I didn't know doctrine. I didn't know that it was God that was calling me. I thought that, I just knew I was under conviction. I had no idea. Spurgeon said that while he earnestly sought the Lord, he had no idea that the Lord was earnestly seeking him. Spurgeon also said, and I know Spurgeon doesn't take the place of the Bible, Spurgeon had his errors as well. But we're not saved doctrinally as Calvinists or Calvinistic. Most people are not aware that the Holy Ghost is calling them. Most all newly saved would be pastors are many saying they're unaware of the drawing and quickening work of the Holy Spirit. You don't understand that it's the Holy Spirit that's drawing you to God. You don't understand that it's the Holy Spirit that has changed your outlook, that has given you this new outlook on life. You don't understand that yet. You have to learn that. You have to be taught that. It takes going to church and good elders and good teachers to teach you these things. It takes opening the Word of God and reading it to understand these things. Boy, that revival was good. I'm feeling good this evening. Sum it up, beloved. One does not study God's Word to become a Christian. One studies God's Word because they are a Christian. I have known people, and speaking of study, Brother Drew touched on it a little bit this morning, Brother Don touched on it a little bit this morning. I'm going to touch on it now. All these different perversions of the Bible. There is one Bible, it is the King James Version. If you speak English, the King James Version is the Bible that you use. If you don't use it, you're being taught error. You heard me, I didn't stutter. Say, but people are saved underneath other versions of the Bible. People are saved by hearing the gospel. The Bible speaks of being born again. You know, being a baby in Christ means we can only understand the basics at the start. As I said, I didn't know that the Holy Ghost was drawing me. I didn't know that I'd been quickened. But I've asked this question before, and I'll ask it again. To those that believe that they can save themselves, that they can cry out to God of their own volition, of their own accord, I want to know what changed. Because you didn't listen to the gospel all that time, and then one day you did. What changed? There had to be something that changed you, wasn't there? Well, I heard it before, and I just decided. What made you change your mind? An object in motion tends to stay in motion until some outside force arrests it. An object at rest tends to remain at rest until some outside force accelerates it. Something outside you had to change your mind. Being a baby in Christ means we can only understand the basics. I can remember sitting and hearing about doctrine growing up, and I didn't understand it. There are things about doctrine I don't understand today. Your Brother Don was going at it this morning, and I was sitting back here going, wow, I didn't even know he knew all that. I'm going to have to open up my Bible and look. We only know the basics whenever we're starting out, folks. And it's not appropriate to expect a little child in God. And when I say a little child in God, I'm not talking about your physical age. I'm talking about your spiritual age, your spiritual state. It is not fitting to expect a newborn child of God to know all the things that an elder of God should know. It is dangerous. I know one lady she's my age. You can call her, middle age. Old age is lurking in the weeds. Bless her heart, she was newly saved, and the very first thing they did was put her in a Bible school class to teach. Guess how that went? You can't do that. She had to learn. She knew nothing, and she failed miserably. And she ended up, she quit going to church. She felt like it was her fault. They should never have placed her in that position to start with. Right. Having said that, a sheep can always go find another sheep. The most newborn newborn babe in Christ can go tell someone else what God has done for them. I can tell you all kinds of things. I don't have time enough to tell you all the things that God has done for me. I have witnessed miracles done on my behalf. And you have too if you stop and think about it. The unsaved, beloved. I've known people that can quote Scripture just... You've got to understand my mind. I can tell you that something is in the Bible, and I can maybe roughly paraphrase it, but I have a whole lot of trouble trying to quote it exactly, and I have a lot of trouble telling you exactly what book, chapter, and verse. Very few verses can I do that. I have to look them up. I have to look them up before I preach. Even if I know, if you all ever notice, I put my verses either, I have them marked in the Bible, or I have them in my notes because I can't remember them. I have known people that can quote the Scripture verbatim, word for word, chapter after chapter, verse after verse, book after book, and they don't understand any of it because they are not saved. They're not quickened. They don't have a grasp. The Bible, beloved, and that is one reason that I quiver when I hear someone say, we're trying to make a version of the Bible that's easier to understand. The Bible is a spiritually discerned book. If you're not saved, it's not going to make any sense to you. Oh, you may learn it and memorize it, but it's not going to make sense to you. I'll give you a good example. The Bible, I've heard experts say that the Bible disagrees in various points about how Judas Iscariot died. It says at one point he hung himself. It says at one point he fell along in his guts. He burst asunder. Well, what does that mean? You put the two of them together, don't you?
Yep.
He hung himself, the rope or the branch or the whatever he fell therewith, and he burst asunder. There's no disagreement. There's no disagreement in the Gospels whenever it says the sign that was placed above Jesus. You take it all and you put it all together. This is Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. The unsaved don't need doctrine, beloved. They need the gospel. It's the gospel that has the power to save. No person, beloved, is ever saved except they hear and believe the good news that is Christ. Mm-hmm. Nothing else compares to that. That should be the drive, the motive that we have is to tell other people the good news. Gospel, roughly translated, means good news. Now, that's a rough translation. I've not got the exact one here. The good news. What's the good news? The good news is that Christ was born, lived a perfect life to make a perfect sacrifice for anybody that wants it. That he died and rose again the third day as proof of the resurrection, that those who believe on him might have eternal life. It's that simple. It's so simple a little child can understand it. It kills me. I've seen people say before, well, so and so, they just don't want to go to church. Guess what? I didn't want to go to church either. I had a BMX. For those of you all growing up, if you remember BMXs, the bikes with the fat tires on them, you rode in the mud and the dirt. I thought that was the greatest thing ever. I wanted to be riding my bike. I didn't want to go to church. I wanted to be riding my bicycle or out shooting stuff with my slingshot, which may or may not have included a window or two. Yeah, oh no. Oh no is what I learned. That was what I wanted to be doing. Why, I ask, will we make our children go to school? Public education. Why will we drive down upon them and grind them down the importance? You must go to college. You must go to college. You must. I'm not saying college is a bad thing. But we absolutely, we just like kneading dough. I mean, we just grind it into them. You've got to get an education. You've got to get an education. We ignore the most important part of education. There is the education of God's Word. I had an atheist tell me one time that it's just amazing that most people that are born, he said, if your God is so powerful, why are most Christians born of Christians? Why are most Buddhists born of Buddhists? He said, you don't see people change. Well, the doctrine of election takes care of that, doesn't it? I want to tell you something. If you don't send your kids to church, if you don't take your kids to church, if you don't teach your kids religiously, they're not going to be taught. Now, whenever I say this, I'm not taking away from the doctrine of election. What I am saying is that somehow, somewhere, some way, they got to hear the gospel to be saved. And if you don't do it, who's going to? And how are you going to stand in front of your Lord and Savior and say, well, I just never talked to Him about it? Boy, I do feel good today. We going to have one of the closed door meetings after?
No.
Beloved, I want to talk to you about the gospel for a minute. Even those who hear will not respond without being quickened. But, that in no way removes man's responsibility. We are ordered. I just want to choke up Bible. We have a decision. I had a woman tell me one day, well, we have a choice to make every day to follow God. Yes, we do have a choice every day to follow God. I had to agree with her about that. We do have a choice. What are we ordered to do? We are ordered to repent. All men everywhere are ordered to repent. Acts 17:29-31. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. And at the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Because He hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He given assurance unto all men, in that He hath raised him from the dead. We're not given a choice. We have a choice, but we're not given a choice. We're ordered to repent. And if you don't repent, you're a rebel and a traitor, and you deserve to be damned to hell. Period. No ifs, no ands, no buts, no sideways. No good deeds, no good works. You can do all the good works you want to. You're still a rebel and a traitor. And in this country, even this country, to be a traitor is a crime punishable by death. If this country so much so, how much more God? Do you know what separates men from God? Their love of sin. That's the only thing that ever separated a man from God is sin. We love it. We wallow in it. We play with it. We adore it. We have pet ones that we keep and nurture. And don't tell me you ain't got one. I don't know what it is, but you got one. I've got one or two or ten. I'm not telling you what they are. You can guess. You can guess one of them real well, gluttony. Say, Mike, that's, but you just eat till you're full. Well, yeah, they say some people live to eat and other people eat to live. Well, I live to eat. That's not right. The difference between someone that's saved and someone that's not saved is someone that is saved fights against sin. Do we lie? Yeah, often we lie to ourselves. If we don't lie to anybody else, we'll lie to ourselves. We're good at that. We'll look in the mirror and, well, I'm not that bad. Yeah, I'm not as bad as I'm picking on Brother Don today. I'm not as bad as Brother Don. I don't do what he does. We'll just look at him. And Brother Don will look in the mirror and say, well, I'm not as bad as Mike. Just look at him. He's a monument of depravity. When the truth of the matter is, not one of us can justify ourselves by looking at another human being. The mark is Christ. And Christ was what? Perfect. So the mark is perfection. What is demanded is perfection. And none of us can attain perfection. But a child of God is going to do something that a child of the world is not, and that is we're going to shun sin. That's one of the marks of it. You know, I had a feller, I'll relate this story. Bless his heart, he decided he needed to squirrel hunt on me a couple weeks ago. And he knew me, but I didn't remember him. So I proceeded to call in the license plate, and that involved the deputy sheriff, and it got interesting real quick for him. It didn't for me. I just sat there snickering under my breath saying, don't go hunting when you ain't supposed to be hunting. I also found out squirrel season didn't come in for 2 weeks. I say all that to say this. He called and apologized, and he said, I'm saved and I was wrong. Good deal. I said, come on by. Now, what would an unsaved person do? Think about that. Another thing that a child of God will have that a child of the world doesn't is they have a desire to learn about the deep things of God. Now, I'm going to read a passage here, and I want you to think about this. Hebrews, and you can turn there if you want to. It's Hebrews 5, and I want to read verses 9 through 14. It's a fairly long passage. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God, and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now we see Paul upbraiding the Hebrews here for the lack of understanding and learning. And of all the people, if you stop and think about it, the Hebrews truly were blinded for our sakes. The Old Testament is full of the prophetic coming of Jesus. Those prophecies fulfilled in the New Testament. I want to ask you something today. Do you need milk or do you need meat? I'm not upbraiding you. I'm not getting on you. I'm not none of that. I'm just asking you a simple question. Do you need a bottle of milk or do you need a pork chop? Brother Stephen down there going, I want a pork chop. Get to be Brother Stephen's size as a pork chop or three. Don't wrestle me down after church, brother. I tried to wrestle Brother Stephen twice because I wasn't smart enough to do it once. He picked me up and he threw me. One should grow over time in learning and knowledge. What do you mean? I mean, you went through school. Every one of us here in some way, shape, or form went through school. Now, when I say that, we didn't all get the same quality of education. I know my grandpa went to the 8th grade. And he had a better education than I did going through 12 years of school, 4 years of vocational, and a year of college. He did math better than me. He knew more history than me. He read better than me. It just is. But I am going to say this. that's a cult in many churches today. Your brother Don this morning, he got down in there and he was rooting around. Brother Tom, this week he got in the Bible and he was rooting around, wasn't he? That was some good stuff, wasn't it? Makes you want to listen. I hate to do this. I hate to give you credit in public. I was getting into that this morning. Oh, that hurt. I've said before, and I'll say it again, I could go to any number of so-called churches and hear how much God loves me. It just seems to be the theme of modern day, you can put it in quotes, Christianity. I had one fellow tell me one time, God is love. God is a God of love. He's the God of wrath. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of justice. I could go on. I had a sermon early on on some of the attributes of God and how He manifested those. And I'm going to tell you this. You can't have a God that is love if you don't have a God that is justice. Because love demands justice, doesn't it? So many churches ignore the fact that God hates sin and He hates sinners. Oh, that's a horrible thing to say, Mike. You'll scare someone off. I'm telling you what the Bible says. It says He's angry with sinners every day. He says He hates the workers of iniquity. It says it. Well, it doesn't mean that. Well, then you tell me what it means when it says it. And that tears me up too. I want to chase this rabbit for just a second. I have a second. I want to do it just because I can. People will sit there and they'll take a verse out of the Bible. Well, it doesn't really mean that. It means this. Would you like it? This is, can we agree this is God's Word? This is God's Word to us. It comprehends all of what God has to say to us. Okay. How would you like it if you came to me and you said, Mike, I'm going to give you $10. And I went around and twisted that and started telling everybody that you owed me $10. You wouldn't like that very much, would you? Well, I started out as a gift. I'm around bragging to you. You wouldn't like it. How would you like it if I went and told a lie about you? You wouldn't like it very much, would you? If I took your words out of context and twisted them and made them to say what you didn't say, you'd be angry. Well, why do you not think God would be angry for doing the exact same thing to His Word? I shudder to think what some men are going to face at the day of judgment when they have to explain how they talked and taught away the Word of God and made it nothing and of no account. Churches today forget and dismiss that God has an elect people. That's another one. You talk about election and let the fur fly. But God has an elect people. He chose them from before the foundation of the world. I know exactly how many people are going to be saved. All those that God chose. They're unaware and indifferent as to what has to happen in the process of salvation. You realize Brother Don went over with me. I didn't realize how there was the process of salvation. I think he went over that stuff with me for now on 3 weeks to a month. Just the process of salvation whenever I was there before my ordination. There's a lot that goes on. Beloved, they seek to avoid doctrine altogether in many congregations. Well, doctrine divides people. You're right, it divides people. It divides people that are saved from the people that aren't. Doctrine is learning. Why would you not want to learn about your best friend? See, Helen Ray, whenever I was courting, she walked around the corner of the house and my jaw hit the ground. I thought she's the prettiest thing I'd ever laid eyes on. She wasn't impressed at all. She kind of scraped me off the sole of her shoe and went on about her business, but I thought she was to die for. And I wanted to know what she wanted, what she liked, what she desired. Why? Because I like her. I dare say on a good day I love her. Why wouldn't you want to learn about your best friend? about what he wants, what he desires, what his commands are, the one that saved you. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. How can you keep his commandments if you don't know what they are? How can you know what they are if you never crack open a Bible and read and learn? Now, when I say that, I'm almost done, I promise. I didn't say this is my final point, but I'm almost done. Take that for what it's worth. We have to remember that not all people can learn at the same rate. And we have to remember that not everybody can achieve as much in the way of education. There are people that can only ever grasp the gospel. I know one fellow in particular crosses my mind that I think he understands the gospel, and I think that's what he understands. Jesus saved him. Jesus loved him. That's what he could understand. Some people can't even understand that, and I think there's a place in heaven for those that can't understand. What did David say about the baby that died? He said, the baby can't come to me, but I can go to him. What's that tell you about all the aborted and the unborn? They have a place with God. That's the only thing that gives me solace and comfort. But boy, are we a nation with blood on our hands. You know, some people can learn a lot. And those that can learn a lot should. And they should pass that knowledge on. They should strive to teach others, to educate others. And it doesn't have to be, people always equate that with the preacher, but it can be the Sunday school teacher, a mother, a father, simply an elder in the church. I said this before, and people look at me funny. You take Brother Dale, Brother Clarence, Brother Garth, they could blow me out of the water. Why? They've been around longer than I have, and they know more than I do. And I'm quite willing to admit that they know more than I do. Does that diminish my calling? No, I'm called to preach. But if they take me aside and say, Mike, you said something and this needs to be corrected. Fellow better listen, Andy. You know, of course, I let Brother Don out, but it applies the same thing with Brother Don. If he takes me aside and says, look, Mike, you said something that's out of line or off key. It needs fixing. Better listen. Beloved, I want to close with this. Carry on the process of study. Let it be part of your life. Educate yourself about the things of God because the Bible says, literally, study to show thyself approved. One of the things that will earn the approval of God is studying about God, learning about Him, carrying on for Him, doing His work. The more you know, the more you can teach. Now, some of you in here are grandparents. Some are great-grandparents. Some aren't grandparents at all. We've got all ages in here. And I say that to say this. Most everybody in here remembers their grandparents. And if there's anything you can say is that you don't remember all the things that they knew, do you? All the things that they tried to teach you, you absorb maybe most of it. But you didn't absorb all of it. Study to show yourself approved, a workman of God's. Now that is all I have, believe it or not. I want to be quiet with that. So, Brother Don, if you would, come on up.